back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into just the good times, man. It's holidays. Just did a big segment on gratitude with my pal Bill Cole. I want to give him some gratitude for the mug that has my Royal Farms coffee in it. Cole Roofing, been around since 1919, and my pal came out last week to State Fair, and we had a beautiful holiday event over at Gertrude's. Also visited with Dan Rogers and Odette Ramos, had a vegan crab cake, all this stuff going on with Sig and Ron Cassie talking Oriole baseball. We have these Oriole news. We have the stadium stuff going on. We have a new closer in Craig Kimbrell. We're going to talk some baseball with Luke Jones as well. But right now, we're going to get back into football. And Luke and I have been skirting around the Harbaugh issue and certainly not skirting around the seriousness of the rest of the schedule. Jacksonville, San Francisco, the sort of good fortune and good luck and hard work. It was a great football game on Sunday. And we're going to be getting together on Friday with Gina Schock over at A Foreign Daughter. I am wearing my Curio shirt. This is the baseball. I got to get the football one, the purple one. We're going to be giving away Maryland Lottery scratch-offs on Friday afternoon, 2 to 5, at Far and Daughter, right on York Road, just south of Timonium Road. Gina Schock's going to join us. We're going to be talking about gifting cannabis for the very first time. And I'm going to be gifting lottery tickets, some oat snaps, some peppermint payouts, some unwrapped the cash. Some of them smell like peppermint. Some of them smell a lot like gingerbread. Our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, making it happen. You buy two, you get two free. 0% financing for 5 years into the new year. And Jiffy Lube Malty Care. We're at Wise Markets next Monday in Honeygo from noon till 3. Going to be hanging out, doing some eggnog, going to be doing some crab cakes, and then we're going to be at Fadley's at the end of the month on the 28th. I got to cut a new commercial, make myself a reminder. Luke, you know, from a leadership standpoint, where Harbaugh is in all of this and all the biblical and all of the grandstanding and treating the media as though they're, you know, his teammates in the post game after a victory, not so much after a loss, my own personal dealings of far less integrity than I really wanted him to have and that his predecessors have had in lots of ways on a personal level. I'm just watching this Harbaugh thing and I'm watching the red flags and I'm watching the use of timeouts. And I wrote something and I'm going to write this at columnist, but I want to read what I wrote because I want to do it word for word. Cause I, you know, sometimes I put this stuff out on social media and like I own a radio station and I don't even say it on the radio and I'm totally going to read this, but dear Steve Bisciotti, I know he's a wonderful manager of sometimes woebegone players and humans and does the mind game of getting his team ready to play better than anyone. But does it ever come up during your annual evaluative process just how horrible John Harbaugh is with in-game management of the clock, timeouts, and challenges? And how it could be better managed. Wondering for Ravens flock and Ravens fans who don't have access anymore to ask you the legitimately tough questions. And wondering if your general manager, Eric DaCosta, is witnessing this more intimately from his new weekly positioning within shouting distance of the head coach on the sidelines. I wrote that at halftime after the timeout and they didn't really try to get a touchdown. They were trying to play for three, which I found to be a little interesting at that point in the game. And then the red flag comes out in the last 2 minutes. There's this phantom. He stepped out of bounds. He was mouthed on TV saying he stepped out of bounds before he caught the ball. John said that. Then they, I'll tell you what, Fox, I hate most of what Fox does. But boy, they cover the mouths of, I mean, they get intense close-ups, probably pissing off Chad Steele, owners, all of that. But Fox TV gets their face down in there, and you could see John say, I effed up, into his mic, to his coaches. And after they win like that, I get that it's different. But boy, it's not good. I don't know what else to say because in the moment you're watching it and the whole world's watching it. And we're like, dude, don't you guys have a system for that?
Yeah. Look, first and foremost, I'm not sure that it's very good around the league. And look, John Harbaugh and this coaching staff, they make their mistakes. Sean McVay made mistakes and he's considered a genius, right? And he won a Super Bowl 2 years ago. The Rams had some clock and play call issues, things of that nature. I guess I'm not as moved by this as you are because I watch the rest of the NFL and I see other veteran coaches have the same issues as far as it
Belichick
pertains.
won Super Bowls by not doing this for the most part. And every time Belichick screwed up all three or four
Okay,
in
but
30 years, it's magnified. And this happens with John a lot. And I look, they're
does it
10 and
happen with
three.
John more than other great coaches, though? I mean, do you have the statistical evidence to prove that? Because I think
I think
teams
John
mess
could
it.
be better at it. How about that?
Sure, I would say the same thing about probably 29 other coaches in the NFL.
This is like
Now,
saying everybody on my block's overweight, so it's, it's just sort of like we all have this. Yeah, I
I'm
mean,
not
come on,
disagreeing
man.
that it's better. Do I think it's this thing that's plaguing this football team? Well, they're 10-3, so if we just want to say John Harbaugh is an idiot and the Ravens win in spite of him, then we just don't have anything to talk about then. And I'm not saying you, I'm saying that
I don't
criticism
think
that
there's
you'll
any
find.
question he gets a team prepared to play. He
Sure.
motivates, he celebrates, he acts like a teenager, like he's I mean, you talk about the Billy Joel song, The Stranger, where he's
Right.
got 50 masks he puts on full of BS for, as far as I'm concerned. On a personal level, knowing him 2 decades, I don't buy it. I see it as almost professional wrestling manager-esque, where there's a role to play, a
Right.
mask to wear, a thing to say, a lord to praise, people to motivate of all different kinds. And then there's the job of like being the head coach in the game
Sure.
and making decisions. And he's not the offensive coordinator. He's not the defense coordinator. And I don't think he even feels well versed enough to even discuss those things, especially offensively. Defensively, maybe more over the years where he would discuss strategy. But as far as scheming and offense, I don't think that's John's thing at all. And I don't hear him talk a lot about it in a thing like that. But so game management, clock management, and last 2 minutes, and distance, and field goals, and special teams thoughts that would go through his head about managing in that way. I hear all of that. I just, I throwing red flags out in the last 2 minutes when it's against the rules, as they would say in Slapshot.
Right.
And everybody knows that. The announcers know that. Blandino come, they all come on, and then John in the end says, "Well, they just rolled the clock on me." Like, that's almost like Patrick Mahomes saying, the guy stepping, come on, dude, we're
Right.
playing reality here. We're not playing your fantasy world of what really happened when you had timeouts, when you had the ball before halftime, where you played for 3 points and didn't even get a shot at it. Just, and to your point with McVay, I want to answer that. McVay twice yelled into his set, what the is going on? No, he said, how the F did that happen? That's a man. How the F did that happen? I'm yelling into my headset, John, how the F did that happen? And every fan is yelling into their headset, how the F did that happen? And John's saying down the pipeline, I effed up. Hey, I mean, I hope he at least acknowledges this on Monday afternoon, if you get back in the car and drive over there, that this was not a good decision and he's in charge of it and he makes more money than anybody else. And it's been a consistent problem for 15 years and that they should do something to rectify it. I mean, that's all. And if
Okay.
they lose a playoff game because of it, it's
Sure.
all we're going to talk about. Like Buck Showalter, who you revere and love, and we all, I love his wife more than him at this point. But Buck left Zach Britton there, and we're still talking about it years later. Harbaugh has made, been here a long time. It's his Achilles heel. It's his left hand. It's the thing that he needs the most help with. And I know him personally, Luke, too intimately in some cases, that, there, he's a rockhead about what he's a rockhead about. And I don't know where this is. Only Bisciotti could be mad enough to say, dude, get someone in here. Get someone in here that's great at it, that can be you. Because when you're down there and Eric's down there, it's just, I don't like the way it looks. I don't like the optics of it. And I don't like the reality that it might cost us a game because we're not good at it and we're not getting better at it.
Well, I look, I'm not saying they're good at it. I guess my point of contention is that who are the teams that are great at it is my question. I see these issues across the league, including Sean McVay, who won a Super Bowl, including Andy Reid, who's won a couple Super Bowls at this point. Andy Reid's been known for that going back to his days in Philadelphia in the late
Well, maybe he bred
1990s.
it into Harbaugh like a thoroughbred.
So let's, instead of speaking in generalizations, let's look at the I assume we're talking about two situations on Sunday, right? The end of the first half
Sure.
and the touchdown drive
Well,
for
I
the
mean,
Rams. Okay.
these
End of
are
the first half.
factors for me. None of this has anything to do with coaching or leadership or
No, it's
even
fine. I
it
want to talk
being
about it.
full of manure, which I believe him to be in certain cases. But this is just about the six timeouts God gives you, right? And the red flag in your pocket and your ability to affect the game when you throw it, not on some second down run that's a first quarter. Like, crazy things that you could value in a casino, the value of that red flag and the value of these timeouts, and when it's optimal to use it, and when even you're at home and you have your, I don't know who their Larry Rosen is because I'm not allowed to know these things anymore, but Larry had it all rigged up and pissed Billick off royally over years by no, Billick was always upset about the replay and the television and inside and what we can see and what we can't see. Show it to the fans, get them pissed off, stop the game, rectify the egregious sins of the officials and a missed call, which obvious there. Like all of that's supposed to be happening within 12 seconds and video and somebody hitting down the John saying, "Dude, he stepped out of bounds," or John sitting there and saying, "Think he stepped out of bounds. Felt in my heart like he stepped out of bounds. My Advent divine, whatever that was, told me that my telepathy told me he stepped." And everybody in the world's like, "Why is he throwing the flag? Why is he throwing the flag?" He mouthed it on TV, and there was no system there to say, "Don't throw it. Don't throw it. Don't throw it." Along with the fact that the rule is you can't throw it the second time. The first time around, look, that's just 2 minute offense, and you want to talk about a 2 minute offense. You want to have an effective 2 minute offense. You have the best field goal kicker. You at least want to get him a better kick. I mean, if nothing else, give him a better in the rain, make it more automatic for him. And they didn't do a good job. So if you want to talk about the last 2 minutes, go ahead. You got the floor.
Yeah, so end of the first half, and we talked about this in our previous segment with this offense. I still think this is an offense that, while it's played at a very high level, I think they are still getting caught in between of what they really want to do. And I think that happened on the 2 minute drive. I think they had designs and thoughts, and they had the start of a 2 minute drill that was really going well. And then what? I guess Lamar throws the 10-yard completion to Bateman. It's under a minute at that point in time. It's first and 10 from the 18. Then he throws an incompletion, throws a pass to Aguilar for 1 yard. And at that point, they're kind of in between and saying, okay, are we going to have enough time here? Yeah, they left a timeout on the board, and I'm not going to sit here and defend that. But it's something that I feel that just in a general sense, from a philosophical sense offensively, they've still found themselves in between. I think as well as Todd Monken has called games at times, we've seen that where you can't quite figure out what they want to be. You and I in a previous segment to kind of debated where their running game is right now. Statistically, it's phenomenal. Situationally, it's not as strong in some of those short yardage situations as it was under Greg Roman a few years ago. So,
Neither are there cojones to run it.
sure. Yeah. I mean, and that's part of it too. I mean, as I said to you, and this is something that John Harbaugh got killed for 2 years ago as Lamar was hurt and they went for two against Green Bay. They went for two against who was it? I'm trying to think the other game. Was it Cleveland? Whatever it was. The point it was, they were going for two and doing things to try to win games instead of trying to extend games. And they got crushed for that. And we've seen John Harbaugh be more conservative this year, quite frankly, in some of those situations where fourth and one, they've kicked field goals. Fourth and one, they've punted from areas of the field where a few years ago they would have gone for it. So, and there were people who criticized that. And look, I'm not saying what's right or wrong there, but there's discourse over that, right? You'll have people in the analytics community saying John Harbaugh's not as aggressive as he used to be. You'll have old school thinkers saying, hey, that's smart, take the points. So I'll hear all that. So, end of the first half, I think they got caught in between. I don't think they managed their time well. I agree with you. And the touchdown drive. Let me give you some context here. I'm not saying that this is the truth, but this is what I can relay to you. First of all, I'm going to read John Harbaugh's post-game quote, and then I'm going to add to that. So he was asked, you know, what exactly happened there that made you challenge the play despite not being allowed to challenge a scoring play, as we all know. And his quote was, it was more about getting the timeout. I thought maybe he stepped out of bounds. I know they look at that, but really what it was just getting organized. on defense, of course, for the 2-point call, for the 2-point play call. They go fast in those now. They don't give you time, really. We all did, but I really wanted to make sure we had the right call. So that's a way to get a timeout there by throwing the red flag from 20 yards away. Now, I saw the same lip reading that you did. I'm not a lip reader. I also know that the NFL puts out the funny lip reading video every year that things will be said that, you know, does it look like he said I bleeped up? Yeah, I'm not going to deny that. I will say this, having spoken to an individual in the locker room, they did not have a play call in for their defense for the 2-minute, you know, or not the 2-minute, the 2-point conversion play, which, by the way, was a really important play, as it turned out. The fact
that's also on management when you don't have a play call in.
It is, but at the same time, if you don't have a play call, what are you going to do there?
Burn a timeout.
You call a timeout. So do I think John Harbaugh was playing 3D chess there in terms of throwing the red flag? People are going to believe what they're going to believe there. There clearly was mismanagement there one way or the other, because yes, you cannot challenge that. No, they
I'd
did not
love
have
to believe it's a coy play where he thought it through and thought, let's just delay the game so I can get my defense together. Didn't feel that way.
Right. And that's fine. And again, this is not
I'm not going to report it that way because, you know, he gave me some biblical statement about what an upstanding individual in Advent. I'm not going to report it that way. I don't think that's the truth based on what I saw and based on what I've seen for 15 years. I think the truth is he thought the guy stepped out of bounds. He was trying to play, you know, throw a bomb, right? Like just, and you know, a reach with the game on the line because he had the timeout. I don't know. That's part of the issue is even if I sat down with him, I don't know that he'd be honest to give us an honest answer. I don't know that he has to be honest to anybody anymore. I think we're beyond that. We've jumped the shark on getting real answers. We're just sitting here guessing. But I know the result. The result is they sat on a timeout in the first half and they did something that was a little crazy in the last 2 minutes with the timeout.
Well, inside 5 minutes, it was 4:47 to go.
Sorry.
If they needed to call a timeout there, they needed to call a timeout. I agree with you. You should have a play call in. Whether he's being truthful there or half truthful there, what, you know, people are going to decide what they're going to do.
Well, then just call a timeout.
Sure. Well, or you know you're going to get the same result and you're just trying to delay things a little bit more, which happened, by the way. So,
how many pitching coaches have we seen come out to get their guy warm-ups?
Right. So, and that's where. And look, people are going to listen to this and say, "Oh, you're being a Harbaugh apologist." I'm presenting more context to what we saw in real time. What he said, what one individual said to me after the game, who, you know, don't think they have any reason to be dishonest about it. I mean, and part of this is also John's also, he has owned up to messing up on occasions like that in the past. I've heard him, you know, I've heard him flat out say that. Again, to your point, and this is the case with any coach in any press conference, there are truths, half truths, and damn lies, right? I mean, that's just
maybe one day he'll admit I'm actually in the media. Maybe,
I'm not saying that's okay to lie either. I'm just saying that's part of the competitive environment that these guys live in, and they're that in competitive, and they are that stubborn, and at times, dishonest.
Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson did a big thing the other night about honesty over loyalty over honesty. When their friend was dying and they couldn't tell anybody in the world, they had to pick loyalty over honesty. So they fight that out there all the time based on egos and money and who gets their feelings hurt, you know, honesty or loyalty, which we're loyals, everything there, not honest.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I'm not going to convince you or anyone else what, you know, whether he was telling the truth or whether it's a half truth or whether he's just blatantly lying, you know, I mean, it's, people are going to feel how they're going to feel about it. It was a mistake regardless.
Correct.
Because as we said,
that's my only point. Look, I give him high. I wrote chapters and books about his excellence, and it's been 10 years late. He's very good at what he's very good at, but the obvious in-game management stuff, it just keeps coming. I mean, it's December of 2023. He's been head coach 15 years. It feels like he's pretty rock-headed about it. Even in the post game, to say whatever he said, that, and he's a defensive sort, and he's a very easily offended sort. I know that. That, and he's not quick to say, my bad, my mistake, I effed up. He was pretty quick to say that with his, on the internal. I don't think he knows that. I mean, he has to know by now that the whole world saw this interaction, that maybe he would say, yeah, I won't do that again. That wasn't smart. You know, like, just the acknowledgement of that. But the timeout before the first half and eating that and not going for it, I want to talk about the psychology of that a little bit more, because I do think there's a point where they are playing more conservatively, right? Just in general, and that may be Todd, but have to be Todd Monken to some degree, to say, John, we don't want to throw a pick six here. We'll all look stupid. Let's get three. You know, it's rainy, it's wet. Let's not have the game turn on rainy and wet, and Justice Hill pop the ball up. And Lamar did have a couple of balls that hit off of helmets. He hit Aaron Donald in the head at one point. Man, that's when bad-ish happens and the ball comes back the other way. So I wouldn't even mind hearing that. I mean, honestly, Luke, I'll just say this. And I, you know, Brian and I don't talk once a week, once a month or whatever. Brian was always really honest, and I got used to that the first 10, 15 years. So was Ted. He would just say, we don't want the ball popping off the head of somebody in the rain. And, like, did we play for three? You're goddamn right we played for three. I mean, I want to see a little Nathan Young. I want to see a little Nathan Jessup. You know, I mean, I'm okay with that. And if that's the way they're playing, they ate a time. I mean, I don't know what they were doing. And I think when they go back and they do this on Monday, and this is John's job to do this, they do internal review, they do quality control, they'll look back at this, and this is, John should be beaten up by John or whoever beats John up in the building to say, or Monken, and say, we're paying our quarterback $50 million. We're trying to win the game. Let's give ourselves a chance to get a better kick, if nothing else, on a wet day. That's all. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, that's – and look, you made mention of who's responsible for that in general. I don't think it's Todd Monken specifically. I think over the course of the season, them being more conservative, I think it's been a product of having the best defense in the NFL, quite frankly, compared to where they were a couple years ago, where their defense wasn't as good or was very injured 2 years ago. And, you know, they were much more aggressive on the offensive side of the ball. So, I mean, believe me, I want to be clear about this. I'm not – apologizing away or trying to say that these things are okay. At the same time, I also think it's important to give the proper context that I'm not sure who all these coaches are around the NFL who are great at doing this consistently, because I just named two Super Bowl, active Super Bowl winning coaches who mess up these kind of things pretty regularly, just like John Harbaugh. So I think the truth is that if we're taking a step back and looking at it through a more objective lens and not just a passionate lens or a tunnel vision on one specific team every week, I think these things are very common around the league. I think the bullets are flying. I think the stakes are very high. I think there's a lot of information. I think there's incompetency from NFL officiating that contributes to it at times, which I think happened on at least one of the situations with the Chargers, where, you know, with Aguilar, with the spot of the ball. You know, even though I still think the Ravens needed to pick up on that much more quickly than they did, and I'm not absolving them entirely, but I think there's a lot that goes on there compared to when you're observing it from your couch or whether you're a good game manager playing Madden on PlayStation. So I don't mean that to be dismissive of it. Again, there's no question about it. These are the kind of things that can cost you a football game. There's no doubt. But these are things that do happen elsewhere, and they happen elsewhere frequently as well. So I don't think it's specifically a John Harbaugh over the top fatal flaw that he has, much more so than other coaches around the league. But yeah, it's something that you always want to be chasing to get better at. And there's no doubt about it. So, you know, whatever the truth is, whatever you want to believe, as far as what happened at the end of the, you know, inside 5 minutes there, you know, they, whether it was him with just a gaffe, or whether it was the defense not being ready, or a combination of both, you know, yeah, that's not okay. I agree with you on that. Like I said, end of the first half, I think it's one of those cases where, and we've seen this, and I think some of it's just a product of being a new offense, and you know, carving out a new identity. I do think they've gotten in some situations where they're kind of caught in between trying to be aggressive, but then saying, oh, we don't want to leave 3 points off the board. You know, if we can put three on the board here, we'll take that. So, I think that's some of what happened. And, you mentioned a closer field goal. I mean, that was a 31-yard field goal. I mean, for me, that part wasn't as much a sticking point for me as
All the
much as.
more reason not to take three cracks at Odell Beckham going up and making his $15 million, bro.
Sure.
You know?
Well,
Because the
but at the
quarterback
same
can throw it
time,
that far.
he can. But at the same time, you also don't want to make a mistake inside the red zone. And it is a wet field. And
You
it
throw a
is
pick down there.
so, I mean, it's
I'm okay
so
with
there's.
John answering it in all those ways if they use their timeouts wisely and maximize
Right.
their efforts. That's all.
Right.
And look
Well,
like they have their ish together. That's all.
but at the same time, you also get into a situation where you're trying to play the clock in a case of whatever the outcome is, whether you're going to kick a field goal or whether you're going to score a touchdown. You don't want to leave 45 seconds on the clock for Matthew Stafford and their game. So there's that element as well. And I do think at times, not even a Harbaugh specific, but I do think teams at times overthink and outthink themselves in that regard as well. Because, yeah, you want to manage the clock, but if you have a chance to get seven rather than three, I'd much rather take the seven rather than the three. So that's part of it. And I hear you on that. And I was kind of wondering and befuddled the same way. And maybe we'll get a little more clarity on that. With Harbaugh having a chance to review the game and for everyone to go back and rewatch it and kind of look at what happened. But, they had an incompletion in there. They had a 1 yard pass in there. Those two plays back to back. Yeah. That really changes the math and the probability of scoring a touchdown there big time, whether you're going to use that last timeout or not. So, certainly you can look at the strategy, you can look at the execution and say, yeah, as much as that 2 minute drive started out on a promising foot, it finished in a way that very much left you wanting. There's no question.
Well, happy holidays to everybody out there, and certainly to Luke and our friends and family. We had a beautiful event on Friday, Dan Roderick's event. You're going to be listening to Conversations with Dan Roderick's this week, as well as, oh man, Marcella was great over at Coco's, and they're shipping the crab cakes this week. All of our crab cake friends, please get your orders in early and order from all of them because they're all awesome. And I'm not crab caked out just yet, and I'm certainly not eggnogged out yet. We're going to be getting together a few more times before the holidays. Friday, we are going to be at Farr and Daughter and with our friends at Curio Wellness. That is in York Road, Intimonium. We're going to have Gina Schock, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, with us. Going to be giving away some of these gingerbread O snaps. Going to be giving away the Unwrap the Cash and the Peppermint payouts as well from the Maryland Lottery. Our friends at Window Nation putting it on. I'll have the floppy hat as well as Jiffy Lube MultiCare. I need to get my oil change. There's a good reminder there. What else we have? Oh, we're going to be Wise Markets on Monday afternoon at Honey Go with Derek Frazier, former professional wrestler. So I don't even know that I need to book any more guests. I might just have Luke out. We're gonna have crab cakes at Wise, but more importantly, we're gonna have eggnog. And eggnog's a big part of how we celebrate around here for the holidays. I got to gain some weight by the end of the month here as we get this freeze going on. Jacksonville this week for the Ravens. San Francisco on Christmas night. Lots of prime time going on. Craig Kimbrell into the Oriole bullpen. The Orioles might be getting sold. Luke, I can't believe you, and I haven't talked about that. We're going to have that on the air this week, and I'll be going to all the experts about team sales and moving the Orioles around and happy days. I don't want to get too excited. I don't want to count my chickens, but I said this to you 2 weeks ago that I felt like the end was nigh. Maybe I was feeling it in the cosmos. I'm not sure. Maybe it was when I touched Geddy Lee the other night. I don't know. He is Luke. I am Nestor. Lots of football, lots of baseball, lots of holiday cheer, lots of gratitude as well with our segment with my pal Bill Cole from Cole Roofing as I drink my Rofo coffee in here. By the way, big gratitude to Rofo for coming through with some tasty chicken on Friday night. I mean, I put chicken out and I put Fadley's crab cakes out and the chicken disappeared first. I'm like, but everybody loved the crab cakes. No, it left me a couple, so I'm appreciative of that this week. So stick with us. Follow Luke's workout. And, of course, any breaking news happens first on the WNST tech service provided by our friends at Coons Baltimore Ford. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. We never stop talking Baltimore positive, even when we're correcting the coach.